And the Bible says there is one who sticks closer than a friend. God is closer than a friend. And if you have a friend that you love, what do? You communicate. You spend a lot of time together. He's our best friend. So communication is really, really important. And the greatest form of communication that we have today, my friend, is talking with God. Talking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's called prayer. How's your prayer life? I'm not here to put a guilt trip on anybody. When I share something, it's usually from my own convictions. I check here before I check anywhere else. We need to be men and women of prayer like never before. Battle belongs to the Lord. Yeah, God's army travels on its knees in prayer. The greatest tool, the greatest weapon that you have is not a nuclear warhead. The greatest weapon and the greatest thing that you have is prayer. We're going to talk a whole lot about that again here this morning. One last point before we get into God's word, Luke 11:5. As again, I was reading on Facebook this week. A person posted, if you could spend an hour sitting on a bench in a park talking with someone, who would you choose? And I throw that question out there for you this morning. Who would you choose? Of course, I thought Jesus. I thought my Heavenly Father. But that's insane. Why? Because I get more than an hour with Him. I get 24 hours with Him, 7 days a week. We spend time in intimate fellowship together. And, you know, it just amazes me how some people post, I would spend time with Jesus. Why aren't we spending time with Him now? He's there all the time. The problem is on our end, not His. The Bible says God has an attentive ear to the prayers of His people. He's our Father. You know, the older we get as grandparents, I miss not having my children around all the time. And then the grandchildren come along, and I miss not having them around all the time. And because they're growing up and they have their own lives and families, that the time that we spend together gets further and further away. And I wonder how our Heavenly Father feels about us, our relationship with Him as His children. Is He wondering what we're doing with our time and why we're not spending more time with Him? He's our best friend. He's my best friend, and He's your best friend as well. And so last week we began Luke chapter 11, talking about what is known commonly as the Lord's Prayer, or Our Father. It's a model prayer. One of Jesus' disciples had come up to Him, as we saw in chapter 11, verse 1, and asked the Lord to teach them to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Prayer is something that is learned. I guarantee you that every one of us, our prayer life has changed since we got saved. I used to pray Our Father before I got saved, and guess what? He wasn't even my Heavenly Father. I was lost in sin, separated from God. Because the Bible told me later on that unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. That's heavy. And now I can call Him Abba Father. I can call Him Daddy. He's my Heavenly Father now. I don't have to wait to sit on a bench and talk with Him for an hour. I can have intimate communication with Him 24/7. And also I can hear Him speak to me 24/7 because I have His Word. He wants to speak to you and I. Isn't it amazing? I never thought of John the Baptist as a man of prayer. He was a fiery preacher, and he wore camel's hair and ate locusts. He was martyred for his faith. But evidently, Jesus' disciples noticed that John had taught his disciples to pray. That's why we're in this section of prayer over the last few weeks, so that we can learn how to enhance our prayer life. Is anybody interested? I want to make sure that my communication is open with my Heavenly Father. And I need to be reminded over and over that I need to spend more time talking with Him. And as I said last week, as I mentioned, it's not about your posture, what position you're in when you're in praying, because you'd have a hard time driving if you had to close your eyes when you prayed. I wouldn't want to be around you on the road if you had to close your eyes to pray all the time. And it's not about, you don't necessarily have to be on your knees, but that's a good place to be. It's not about the posture of your body, it's about the posture of your heart. Have an open communication with Him. And so this morning again, we're going to be reminded, how to pray, not what to pray. We have a model. First of all, we know who he is. He's our Father. Where he is, he's in heaven. And what he is, he's holy. And we need to be reminded of that, don't we? The holiness of God and where he is in heaven, and that he is our heavenly Father. And we also saw last week that we're to pray his kingdom to come. Boy, I can't wait. That's part of the heaviness over my heart last week. I want to go home. But we have a lot of work to do in the meantime. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, my heart was really saddened when my wife mentioned to me that all of the fireworks in the Coachella Valley have been canceled. One of the greatest holidays in America, Independence. Independence does not mean independence from God. That's one of our problems in America today. We're becoming independent from God. I got news for you. There's some fireworks coming real soon. We're going to be independent from this world and totally dependent on God forever, because we're going to the wedding supper of the Lamb real soon, the rapture of the church. Are you ready to be raptured? And so with the pattern of prayer, there's also yet another extremely important aspect of prayer, and that's where our text comes in here this morning. Persistence. Are we persistent in our prayers? Or do we pray flippantly? I've done it. And again, I'm preaching to me. If you want to listen in, that's fine. But I've been guilty of flippant prayers. Just throw them up there to the Lord. And, you know, oh, well, Lord, if you want to answer it, praise the Lord. If not, oh, well. Guess it's not your will. And you know what? There are certain things we need to be persistent about. Persistence means perseverance. Persistence means ceaselessness. You don't quit. You pray it through. And I've shared many times my younger brother, who was my partying buddy in the world, the whole drug thing, alcohol thing, we were best buds, man. And the day that I told him I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he said, I lost my best friend today. And you know what I did? I persevered and I persisted and I prayed for him for 27 years. And he came to know Jesus Christ. I didn't just throw it up there 27 years prior to that. I prayed because I love him. Is there anybody that you need to be persistently praying for? I guarantee every single one of us has people we need to be persistently praying for. Why? Because I go to the prayer meetings and I hear the prayers. Every single one of us has friends, relatives, loved ones, immediate family that we're praying for persistently. We're concerned for them. And the best thing that we can do is to pray. Persistence means ceaselessness. You don't quit. Continuation. It means duration. It means to endure. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. It was persistence that got the snail to Noah's Ark. Probably the slowest creature to get there. But guess what? He persevered. We got snails. And so this morning in verses 5 to 8 and 9 to 13, Jesus gives us two parables on persistent prayer. Two physical examples of spiritual truths. And so let's look at the first one in verses 5 to 8. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, red letters, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The first thing we need to do is look at the culture in those days. In those days, and still to this very day in the Middle East, when you travel there to the Middle Eastern part of the world, hospitality is extremely important. When they welcome you into their home, they serve you. I love the little cups of strong coffee that will, man, it'll amp you up in a second. And they feed you, and they take care of you, and they make sure that you're comfortable. Hospitality is extremely important in the Middle East. We see this even all the way back to Genesis 18 with Abraham. You remember when the angels came and Abraham entertained them and fed them and all. And it's carried on for thousands of years. We try to do the same thing in our home. We love it when people visit. Can I get you something to drink? Can I get you something to eat? Put the snacks out and all of that stuff. If a person refused to help a guest, even a stranger, he brought disgrace upon his family. That's a heavy one, isn't it? The Bible has a lot to say about hospitality, even entertaining strangers. Unfortunately, in America today, that can be a dangerous thing. How sad that we've come to that place. But hospitality is really, really important. And I think as believers, we too need to be hospitable. And in those days, the middle and lower class houses consisted of a single room. They didn't have these two-story, mansions. And the family would all sleep in the same area. Yeah. Notice what the guy says here. He says, the door is shut and my children are with me in bed. The whole family slept in the same area. They would all sleep in the same area, and oftentimes, guess what? And this is so true, the animals even slept in the house. Yeah, chickens, goats, donkeys, the whole thing. Yeah, seriously. And that's important that we lay the foundation of this parable so that we can really grasp what's going on here. And so here's a man who has a friend visit him in the middle of the night. How would you respond? We get ticked off at robocalls at 5 in the evening. Here we see, in the middle of the night, the guy's knocking on his door. He has no food in his house to set before his friend so that he can be hospitable and so that he doesn't bring disgrace upon his family. And so what does he do? He goes to his friend next door. And his friend is all snuggled down for the night, got the comforter going and my pillow under his head, I'm sure. And he asks him to lend him 3 loaves of bread. And he tells him why in verse 6, doesn't he? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. What does his neighbor say? He says, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. The guy didn't get discouraged, did he? He persevered. He persisted. And so it's easy to see why. The neighbor is so reluctant. Can you imagine? Getting up to answer the door in the middle of the night and climbing over chickens and donkeys and cows and whatever's in your house with you. All the noise it would make. Man, I was sound asleep, and you want me to crawl over the kids and the animals to answer the door to give you 3 loaves of bread? How would you respond? Well, look at verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, at first, I would have to believe that the neighbor was a little bit upset, as we possibly would be, maybe even annoyed. Yet because of the persistence of his bothersome friend, he rises and gives him as many loaves as he needs. He just didn't open the door and throw 3 loaves out. As many as you need. That's a good neighbor. That's a good friend. Now, let me tell you what Jesus is not saying here. He's not saying that his heavenly Father is like a grouchy neighbor. God is not grouchy. When you look at the nature and character of our loving heavenly Father, one of his titles, of course, is God is love. Unconditional love. His love is consistent. It's not like human love. Our love can be up here for somebody, but the minute they betray us, man, it just descends. It's based on emotions, it's based on feelings, it's based on what you do to me. God's not that way. God's love will never change for you, and his love will never change for me. And boy, that frees me up, because there's a lot of things I do that I deserve a good whack from God, and I deserve him to be angry with me. But you know what the Bible says? It's God's kindness and goodness that brings us to repentance. That busts me more than anything when I mess up. I was sitting listening to a wonderful worship song this morning with tears streaming down my face because I was just in awe of God's love for me and His grace and His mercy. And because it's been a struggle lately. It's not been easy. It's been a spiritual battle. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. God loves you. He's not grouchy. But how many of you grew up in a denomination that continually told you God's angry at you? He just wants to whack you. He just wants to make a crispy critter out of you, you know? That's not the God that I know and the God that I serve and the God that I have a personal relationship from Scripture. And the point is that if this man's tired neighbor finally gets up and meets the needs of his bothersome neighbor, how much more will our Heavenly Father meet our needs? He's there. But sometimes we need to persist and persevere because God's not a genie. We don't just say, Lord, do this, do that, you know, rub the lamp and, you know. That's not the God that we serve. Many times our answers to prayer will be delayed. You know that. Sometimes the answer is right away, yes. Sometimes no. Sometimes wait. But I guarantee you that God answers every prayer. And over the years, there have been some prayers God answers immediately. There are some that God will, you know, answer later on. But you know what that does? When I wait and have to persist in prayer, it strengthens my faith. Then I get to see God's hand when He finally comes through. And isn't it just like God to come through in a better way than I ever prayed for? And then sometimes God will allow us to persist and to pray for something that we don't really need. And He'll allow time to go on just to show us, sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to pray that prayer. Because sometimes my prayers are fleshly. And we're going to see how important here in a moment when we get to the second half. Spiritual blessings are with God. Oh, He'll take care of the physical. He promises to do that. All of our needs according to His riches and glory. But what we neglect, folks, is to pray for spiritual things. Yeah. We don't ask. And so here we see that how much more will our Heavenly Father bless us? He never sleeps or slumbers. That's why I said I can go to my Heavenly Father 24/7. He's always awake. There's no day and night in heaven. Did you know that? We get to heaven, no alarm clocks. Hallelujah! You know? It's going to be just light forever. We were talking at dinner last night, just kind of joking, and I was thinking, you know what? There won't even be a weather channel in heaven. Hallelujah! The weather's going to be perfect forever. Wow! But yet we're holding on to things of this world. Like, oh man, this... It's my life and I'll do what I want, you know. Go ahead, see how that works for you. That's how most of us got saved. I did it my way, number one song in hell, right? How did your way work for you? Didn't work good for me. He never sleeps or slumbers. He's never impatient or irritable with us. Why? Because He knows everything about you. He knows every thought, the intent of your heart. He knows the beginning and the end. He doesn't get irritated with you. He loves you. He doesn't get impatient. But He can outwait us until we finally get the point. Our Heavenly Father is always giving. Not like the TV evangelist, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it and confess it, possess it. No, that's not the Bible. He provides all of our needs, not our wants, according to His riches and glory. He's always giving. And wouldn't you say we're spoiled? We are. I can honestly admit, I'm spoiled. We've reached the point in our lives as senior citizens, Tina and I. I can say that because she's not here. She's up with the kids in Sunday school. My mature wife. I'm old, she's mature. But we've reached a place in life, we are content. And we spent all of those years in our younger years, men striving. Get this, get that, you just got to have it. Where are those things today? We are content. It's so wonderful. Food on the table. Wonderful friends and family in the Lord. A roof over our heads. I mean, you know, things that we take for granted. Look what we've seen in America recently. I don't know if I should even say this, but man, 4 months ago, The stupid toilet paper thing? What was that all about? Now people got hundreds of rolls in their house going, what do I do with this now? Isn't that ridiculous? Absolutely. How covetous people are and selfish people are over TP. Insane, man. God provides all of our needs. And he does. Man, what a blessing. And he's always giving. He delights in meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You can never exhaust God's riches. And guess what? It's not just here on this earth. It's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever for all eternity. So be willing to respond. He's always willing to respond to our needs, no matter what time it may be, day or night. And that's why he's comparing here the human versus the divine. Persist in your prayers. Communicate with God. It's so important. And you've heard me share over the past few weeks in talking about prayer, is that when I first got saved, I prayed about every little thing. And then in the name of Christian maturity over the years, I just pray about the big things. And guess what would get me in trouble? The little things that I didn't pray for. Us guys know that. We do chores around the house. Oh, there's just a little leak on the water heater. I'll just tighten it with a wrench. I won't pray about it. Boom. All of a sudden, the hot water's shooting across my kitchen. And stupid me, I stick my finger in it. Hot water. How's that working for you? And we learn. We need to pray about every little thing, don't we, guys? How many molehills have turned into mountains because we don't pray about the little things? Every little thing is important. Why? Because our Heavenly Father wants to be included in every aspect of our lives, doesn't he? He really does. He doesn't want us to turn our back on him and rely on our own flesh. And so here again, we have a parable speaking from the lesser to the greater. And there's nothing greater than God. And he is your best friend. And he loves you. And 24/7, we can have communication with him. And again, like many of us here in the room, sometimes my communication time is when he wakes me up at 2 or 3 in the morning and I'm wide awake and I go, okay, Lord, I get it. I begin to talk with him and thank him and pray. And you know, I'd probably sleep better at night if I would enhance my prayer life. Pray without ceasing 24/7 instead of going all day long running the rat race. And the rat race is not for sheep. It's for rats. And so it's important, isn't it? We spend time from the lesser to the greater. Is there anything greater than God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he loves you. He's your dad in heaven. And he wants to communicate with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to make himself evident to you. But you've got to include him in everything. And so point number one this morning is be persistent. I know sometimes we want to give up on our marriage. I'm so grateful. You've heard our testimony that my wife got saved and prayed for me and our marriage for 2 years. And God finally brought me to my knees. 2 years of hell. She was saved and I was still a wreck. And her pillow was still black with mascara for 7 years from her tears. Don't give up. Pray for that spouse. Pray for that child. Pray for that prodigal. Don't give up. Keep going. And maybe this message is for a lot of you here this morning. There are people we all need to pray for. If you don't have anybody to pray for, I got news for you. I know some politicians you can pray for. We're to love our enemies. And it doesn't matter what party they're in. Why? Because my Bible tells me that it's God's will that none should perish, but all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. You know what we're going to do different here this morning than we've done in a while? After the message, we're going to open up the sanctuary for you to pray. And we want to pray for our nation. We want to pray for our president. We want to pray for those in office, no matter who they are, Schumer, Pelosi, Biden. It doesn't matter. We need to pray for them. Somebody prayed for me, and somebody prayed for you. Maybe we'll get to find that out in heaven, huh, when we get there. Who prayed for us? I don't really know who it was. I had a friend that was instrumental in planting seed and leading me to Christ, but I'm sure there were other people praying for me. And so we need to be men and women of prayer, persistent. How much more will our Heavenly Father be willing to meet the needs of his own dear, precious children? He loves you. And we're going to see that here in a moment. When your child needs something, you want to meet those needs, don't you? That's part of being a parent. Unfortunately, there are times when we look at our Heavenly Father on a human level. We've all done that. In human terms, from a human perspective. But that's not who God is. God is spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, meaning he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere. We can't always rely on our friends or neighbors, even though this is a good thing, but we can always pray persistently and rely and put our faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. He bats 1,000. His record is perfect. He never drops the ball. I mentioned to someone last week that nowhere in this book do we find God ever saying, oops. Sometimes I'm looking in the mirror thinking, you sure, God, you didn't say oops when you made me? God never, ever, ever says oops. He's absolutely perfect in everything that he does. Perfect. Pray to our Heavenly Father. Our loving Heavenly Father never says, don't bother me. How many of us have said that to our kids? How many of us have said, go away, come back later? God never does. Another thing God will never say is, oh, it's you again. Never, never, ever will God say those things. Don't bother me, go away. Oh, it's you again. Never, never, ever will God say that to you because he loves you. And because Jesus Christ died for you. He laid his life down and died a brutal death so that you could be a child of God. Our part, and this is the second part of our text here this morning, is to ask and to seek and to knock. It's interesting, ask starts with an A, seek starts with an S, and knock starts with a K. So ASK is kind of an acronym that we can use for remembering. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Look at verse 9. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Wow. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Let me just say this. This isn't in my notes. But you know what? Before you can ask or seek or knock, you need to answer a knock. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens that door, the door of your heart, I will come in and I will have fellowship with him. Have you opened the door? I saw a wonderful painting one time from an old saint way back. I forget the artist's name. But it shows Jesus knocking on the door. And guess what? There's only one doorknob. And it's not on his side. It's on the inside because you have to exercise your free will and open the door and ask him to come in. He's the Lamb of God, not a battering ram. He won't knock the door down. Bad boy, what you going to do when they come for you? No, that's not the Lord I serve. He's a lamb. He's gentle. He's lowly. He's meek. He loves you. And he wants you to exercise your free will to receive his love. And in order to receive his love, you got to open the door. Let him in. Is there anything more incredible, folks, that's happened to you than opening the door of your heart and asking Jesus Christ to come in? It is the most incredible thing that can ever happen to any human being. Because all of a sudden you get the whole package. You get your Heavenly Father, you got heaven, you got all these incredible promises. But yet there's a lot of people that have never been taught that you need to open the door of your heart to invite him in. It's simple. Our part is to ask and to seek and to knock when we become children of God. Again, you got to be part of the family. You got to be able to say, our Father in heaven, he's got to be your daddy. But notice again, verse 9. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you for everyone. How much is everyone? Who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks you for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If you do, you'll be taken to the dentist because he's going to break his tooth. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake or a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks him for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? It's absurd, isn't it, to think that way? No way, because we as parents love to give the best to our kids because we love them. If you then, being evil, and he's talking about our sinful nature, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Again, the lesser to the greater, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Interesting, and I'll touch on that last verse in a moment. To me, that's one of the most important verses in our whole study here this morning. But in the meantime, the tense of these verbs, where it says ask, seek, and knock, is really important here. It means keep on asking. Don't quit. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Why must we keep on asking and seeking and knocking? Did God not hear you the first time? Absolutely. He hears you the first time. Does he not hear us? Is God playing hard to get? Sometimes in my own heart, again, I bear my heart with you. Okay, what did I do now, Lord? What's in my heart and in my life that's got to go? Sin hinders prayer. We know that. But he gives us the antidote, doesn't he? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for how much of our sin? All of our sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much is all? Why do I walk around like Pigpen and Charlie Brown? This cloud of dirt and dust, you know? He wants to cleanse us and wash us and forgive us for all of our sin. All of it, every bit of it. Man, when am I going to get this? You guys are learning how to pray for me, huh? But here we see, doesn't God hear? Is God playing hard to get? Is he treating us like puppies? Getting us to beg? Stand up, roll over, sit? No, God doesn't work that way with sheep. We need to persist in our prayer. We shouldn't take our prayers being answered for granted. As oftentimes it helps us to determine what is really important to us. I guarantee you, all of us at times, one time or another, have asked some sort of a flippant prayer, and then later go, man, I didn't really need that. Why did I pray that? And sometimes answers come right away. At other times, we need to persist. Keep on keeping on. In the 60s and 70s, there was a term, keep on trucking. For thousands of years, there's a term, keep on praying, asking, seeking, knocking. That's what God wants us to do. And God at times will give us his answer by allowing us to wait. And for some reason, don't we appreciate it more when God finally comes through? And sometimes it's 1 minute to midnight. James tells us, and I love this, James 4:3, and I'm guilty of this at times, we do not receive when we ask of God, because we ask in amiss, that we may spend it on our pleasures, on our sinful pleasures, carnal thinking, carnal living. And just as it says here, you being evil, giving good gifts to your children, you'd never give them anything that would harm them, and God feels the same way. He would never answer a prayer for something that's going to harm you or destroy you. And so he withholds it from us. And then finally we go, duh. We wake up and go, you know what? Thank you, Lord, that you didn't answer that prayer. Sometimes it's so we can, James says, spend it on our own pleasures. Psalm 84:11 tells us, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who love him. No good thing will the Lord withhold from you because you love him. And you tell me, in your Christian walk, whether you've been saved a month, 10 years, 100 years, has God not been good to you? He really has. Even, you know, I can look at the 33 years without God and go, man, he was good to me then because he didn't allow me to be destroyed. Amazing. Yeah. God is good. Just if he just saved you, that's good enough. given you eternal life. He doesn't withhold any good thing. Meaning that if what I have prayed for does not come my way, I must conclude that it was not good for me and it wasn't God's will for me. That's why it's important to pray, and that's why it's important to spend time in God's Word, because then we find out God's will for our lives and what He wants us to pray for and what He wants us to have when we put on the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. And we get rid of the stinking thinking, the worldly thinking. Our desires change. Our hearts change. Look at your desires. Have they changed over the years since you've been a believer? There's a term that people use out there, to die for. I got news for you. I almost did die for some of that junk that I've allowed to come into my life. But you know what? Jesus looks at you and me and says, to die for. Yeah, that busts me. To die for, that He would love me that much. And sometimes it's because He has something better for us. Don't settle for second best in any area of your life. Praying for my grandkids, they're at the age now, they get boyfriends and girlfriends. And one of them has had his heart broken a couple of times. And I've admonished him and encouraged him, saying, you know what? Don't settle for second best, especially in someone that God may bring to you to spend the rest of your life with. God wants what is best for you. Don't settle for second best. You young people, when you find somebody that loves Jesus more than you, that's the right person. Because I can honestly say my wife loves Jesus more than me, and I love Jesus more than my wife. And that's what makes it work. The three-strand cord, right? Ecclesiastes holds it all together. Praise God. So don't look at the outward. God looks upon the heart. We need to look upon the heart. What kind of fruit do you see on their tree? And we're going to talk about fruit here in a moment. In about 3-4 more hours when I finally get to the end of the text. Just kidding. His no is because He knows what's best for us. So don't get angry, don't get disappointed, don't get discouraged, don't get depressed when God says no. You know what I do when God says no? I think, oh man, He's really got something better coming. Wow, I can't wait to see what it is. When He says yes. Our Heavenly Father knows us and loves us, so we can always rely on His answers to prayer and His provision to be absolutely perfect. And again, He doesn't say, oops, why did I give Him that? Would He give you a stone when you ask for bread? No. Would He give you a snake when you ask for a fish? No. Would He give you a scorpion when you ask for an egg? No. Imagine, scorpion rancheros. I can't imagine that, you know. Absolutely not. He wants to bless you with the best. And that used to be a term in the church in the 60s, blessed by the best. Do you use that term still, church? Are you blessed by the best? You are. Look at verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, we even spoil them, how much more will your Heavenly Father, I love that term, your. He's mine. Your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. What? People look at that and go, what is that all about? What the Lord is saying, even a human father with a sinful nature knows how to give good gifts to their kids. And again, the lesser to the greater. That's what we see here, right? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, many people look at that verse and go, what is this all about? Why is the Holy Spirit mentioned here? Why does He mention the Father wanting to give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Why? Just think about it. The person of the Holy Spirit is what you and I need more than anything. Anything physical. God's going to take care of the physical, right? What we need most is the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What our Father, it says here, red letters, desires to give us is the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved without Him giving you the Holy Spirit. When you invite Christ into your life, the person of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you and seals you for the day of redemption. You tell me, is that a good thing? Aren't you grateful that God the Father gave you the Holy Spirit and saved you? What else do we need the person of the Holy Spirit to do? To teach us. The Bible tells us that the person of the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He convicts us, the world, of sin, unrighteousness. He tells us what is wrong, but He also tells us what is right. He teaches us. He leads us. Tell me we don't need this one today. He leads us and guides us in all truth. All truth. Look what we have in the world today. Fake news, lies, slander, all this junk going on. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, and again, we need to continually ask for the person of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. Oh yes, when you're converted, you're saved. But we need a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we are sinful. We can quench the person of the Holy Spirit, and we can grieve the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And again, personally, every day, I ask God to wash me, to cleanse me, to purify my heart and my mind, and to fill me overflowing. I just don't want up to the top. I want to be overflowing with the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be fearful of the person of the Holy Spirit. I know we see some crazy people on TV doing wild stuff, but you know what? That just drives people away. Everything my God does is decently and in order. He empowers us. Now, would you think that we need power today? Spiritual power. Absolutely, like never before. He gives us what we need to live a holy life. Would you say that's important? Now, do you know why our Heavenly Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I would hope from this point on, in seeing this text, that we would continually ask the Lord for a filling of the Holy Spirit to empower us. He ministers through us. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us spiritual fruit. He convicts us. He corrects us. He conforms us. I mean, the list is endless, folks. You tell me, is it important that our Heavenly Father give us the person of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And let me just talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. You tell me if these aren't important. And again, He's going to take care of your physical issues, right? If you missed a meal, if you're hungry, I'll buy you breakfast after the service. You know, it's like God will take care of your physical needs. But how is your spiritual life? Are you overflowing with the Holy Spirit in your life? Because in Galatians 5:22, He gives us love. Man, would you say that's important? The greatest evidence of who you and I are in Jesus Christ is love, because God is love. Agape love, unconditional love. How's your love life? He gives us joy. He gives us peace. Sometimes we need peace right on the spot, don't we? Why? Because Satan is a disturber of the peace. He wants to rip your peace off. Yeah, like that. But you know what? You've got a choice. You can let him rip your peace off and ruin your day, or on the spot you can say, Lord, give me peace, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and you can have victory over whatever the devil brings your way. I've experienced that. How about long suffering? Are you short fused? Don't blame it on the fact you're Italian or Hispanic. Oh, that's why I'm short-fused. That's why I'm angry. No, no. God's not going to buy that one. You're a sinful human being is what the problem is. We need to be long-fused instead of short-fused. And blame it on everything but taking responsibility for yourself. How about kindness? Are you kind? If you're not, ask God to give you kindness. Fill you with the Holy Spirit. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Used to be a term called gentleman. Where are the gentlemen today? It's not being a wimp that makes you gentle. You know what meekness is? Meekness is not weakness, guys. Meekness means power under control. Well, you can be powerful, but you know what? Are you out of control? That's when you get in trouble. When we're meek, when we're lowly, when we're gentlemen. You know what's really? I'm not going to say it. I'm going to move on from that one. You're going, come on, Pastor Joe, come on. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to exercise the next one, self-control. I'm going to behave here this morning. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. And against these things, there's no such law. So you tell me, in verse 13, is that a good verse for you and I to learn from today? Let me read it again. If then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, lesser to the greater, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What are you waiting for? Ask him, fill me. And I would hope for every one of us, 24/7, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that we continually ask God to fill us with his Spirit so we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh. And if you want to find out what the flesh is, go to Galatians 5 and look at the section before. I don't have time for that one this morning. The section before the fruits of the Spirit. The flesh. We need to ask our Heavenly Father to fill us. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to give us the Holy Spirit? But we have to ask. What are you asking for today? Physical things? Material things? Carnal things of this world? Or are you persistent in asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Why? Because if you're a child of God, which you are, and you look at the Lord's Prayer, and he is your Heavenly Father, and his name is hallowed, so should yours be. Hallowed means holy. We need to be holy as he is holy. And again, the reason oftentimes we're not holy is we don't ask him, Lord, allow me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Make me holy. Don't let me blow it today, Lord. We need to be persistent praying for the spiritual. Pray for the spiritual. Our Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You got to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on praying, knocking. Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. That should be the heart, the desire of our heart for each and every one of us. As we close, and now we're going to pray. We'll open it up so you can pray. God just laid it upon my heart to pray for our nation, president, all these different things we have. And so as a church, as a body, we're going to pray this morning. And my wife confirmed it yesterday. She says, when are you going to open it up to the church to pray for our nation, for our president, for all that's going on? It's the greatest weapon we have, folks. You can't rely on Pastor Joe to be the prayer intercessor. You guys can communicate with your Heavenly Father as well, just as easy as I can. He's your daddy too. But before we close, is God knocking on the door of your heart? Have you opened the door and asked him to come in? It's pretty evident here, isn't it, what God's desire is for you. He wants you to be spirit-filled. He wants you to be his child. He wants to be your father. And if you've never publicly given your life to Jesus Christ, no greater time than right now. God is speaking to you. Don't push him away. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus this morning, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you. I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Just stand up, and I just want to pray a simple prayer with you. And the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. Anyone, as we close. Do you all know that you're saved? Important stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for being our best friend. Thank you for always having an attentive ear. Thank you, God, that we can communicate with you and pray to you and hear from you 24/7. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us that we would desire, Lord, to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, that you would give us as our Heavenly Father the Holy Spirit when we ask, to lead us and guide us and direct us and correct us and protect us and all the wonderful blessings that come by being a spirit-filled believer. And so this morning, Lord, as we close, I pray for my brothers and sisters, as myself as well, that our desires, that our prayers, that the things that we so desire would be spiritual things, Lord, because you take care of the physical. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From what I've been told, we're going to cut off the live feed.